So we're in the middle of a series called Sex, Drugs and Sausage Rolls. And yes, tonight we are looking at the subject of porn. And I just want to prepare you that it is a bit intense and heavy, but the title is called Porn Free. So we're actually going to be looking in the second half of actually how we walk out of it and we walk in freedom. So yeah, we are talking about appetites and we are talking about how we handle, how we navigate and how we manage these appetites in a wholesome and in a healthy way, because it is quite hard. So we've been looking in the last 2 weeks about relationships and about intimacy, and we've been looking at this royal law of love, this principle of love, and how if we really walk in it, it will give us a toolkit in order to navigate our appetites. And this law is this, in James 2. If you really keep the law found in Scripture, love your neighbour as yourself, you are doing right. And what this means is, if your primary focus and motivation is love, you are not going to go far wrong. If you are asking yourself, how am I acting in love right now? And if it's positive, if you think, yes, this is loving, this is what it means to love my neighbour, you can't really go wrong. But you can go wrong if love isn't constraining and bringing your appetites into the right context. So appetites with love actually produces fulfillment and happiness. We are happier when we live constraining appetite within love. But appetites without love leads to emptiness, a lack of fulfillment. So we're looking at porn tonight. Why? Because it affects all of us. It affects everybody. It's a huge issue. It's massive out there in our society. And everybody here has got a story, whether it's you personally or somebody that you know. And there'll be some people here, and you might think, I don't see what the problem with porn is. I think it's just about choice. It's about expression, sexual emancipation, exploration. People who engage in the industry, it's consensual, they're paid. What is the problem? It's not harming anyone. And some people think like that. Some people, maybe if you're a Christian here and you've been wrestling with porn, you think, actually, this is affecting me. I'm wondering whether, A, I should really be here in this room, whether I'm a proper Christian. And I'm thinking, what would people think of me if they knew what I get up to? Some people have wrestled with an addiction and it's become life-controlling and they need help. And some people have been caught up in a relationship with a partner who's had an addiction, a problem with pornography, and it's now really affecting that relationship. So all of us really are now affected by it. I was affected by porn when I was 10. I fell upon a little stash of pornography. Now, in my day, in the 1980s, there wasn't the internet. You couldn't log on and see stuff. So if you were to encounter porn, it was usually because you stumbled on somebody else's little stockpile, or you knew someone who had stumbled on a stockpile, and both of those were true for me. So I was a 10-year-old girl looking at these magazines, asking questions like, why are these women out in the snow with no knickers? I found them absolutely intoxicating. There's something about pornography which just goes, it sucks right into your brain. And for many years, those images were very vivid and I could recall them in graphic detail. And there's something that is intoxicating about porn, that it does, it fires up your neurons like nothing else. It's a really, really powerful, powerful force in a person's life. Now, I was exposed to porn in the mid-80s. VHS came out. This is a bit of a history lesson, isn't it, for you guys? Not about porn at all. So in the 1980s, VHS videos, porn videos came out, and suddenly little videos appeared in this secret stash which I'd covered, which I watched, and I thought, gosh, this is very interesting. And it was fascinating. The draw was huge. I didn't know the damage that was going on in my brain. I didn't know how I was affecting myself until years later. after I became a Christian, and I thought, you know, I was a Christian at 20, stopped watching all porn, you know, completely celibate, inactive. And then when I got married, I just thought, oh, there's a problem here. So it really, really does matter. It really does affect us. But what is it about the porn industry? What is it about porn that it's so difficult to resist? It's so difficult even to avoid. And once you're entangled in, it's really hard to get out. Well, I'll tell you why. The first thing is, it's just hugely accessible. Accessibility is one of the driving forces of its success because it's so easy to find and come across. In fact, most people who encounter porn, they didn't seek it out. It's almost like it found them. And that's really hard, isn't it? Because that choice wasn't yours. Do you know that the porn companies knew the potential that the internet could provide for their industry right at the conception of the internet? They knew that this was going to be incredibly powerful for them and their industry. And they seized hold that market, that domain, so that nowadays, today, 25% of all internet traffic is porn. Now, what you need to know is that someone else made the decision for porn to be so prolific. It wasn't you. But now you're in a situation where it's really hard for you to avoid it and to resist it. And I'm going to talk about how we do that later on. So accessibility is one of the factors that's driving its success. Also, anonymity. Anonymity, you get to watch intimate sexual encounters with people that you don't know, you don't care about, and you remain a faceless, nameless spectator. It can come straight into your home, these images, straight into your room, straight into your hand, and nobody will ever find out what you're doing. It's really interesting. You know, what you do in secret is a real marker of your integrity. Integrity, it means you do the right thing when no one is looking. If you lack integrity, all you care about is how you look and how things make you look, not how it benefits others. But if we are to walk in real integrity, it matters what we do in secret when no one is looking. But the anonymity that the porn industry can provide, it's so tempting. You know, if you could get away with a crime, you would never get caught. You'd be tempted to do it, wouldn't you? If you knew you wouldn't be caught. Anonymity, it's a great cover. The other one is affordability. We don't pay for porn, pretty much. It's a free commodity. It's free for us in the West. Do you know, porn has been likened to a drug. They call it the new drug because it does the same thing to your brain as class AB drugs. It just, it fires, it gives you a hit. But unlike drugs, porn, it doesn't cost. Drugs can be expensive. And drugs are criminalized. Porn is free and it's legal. It's an easy thing to do. It has no cost to it, or does it? So people look at this explosion of porn, and those A's, accessibility, anonymity, and affordability, they're called the AAA engine, which drives its success. And so we've got this epidemic of porn in our society. It is an epidemic. I think it's toxic. I think it corrupts. And I think it infects us. And it infects us right at the core of our being. It infects our minds. When we look at it, we're shown images of sex which actually are not real. What you see in the porn industry is bodies that aren't real. They're bodies that have been enhanced. Most people don't really know what sizings people are anymore, so I'm trying to be a bit cryptic here, but because of what porn teaches them. I watched this program called Porn Laid Bare on BBC iPlayer during my research. But they took you to this clinic where men were having enlargements because they were working in the porn industry. And it looked so excruciating what they were having done that it brought tears to my eyes. I thought, these poor men. And we all know that women in the porn industry have enlargements, and all their sort of those parts of them that are eroticized are given a little bit of a lift or a enlargement. It's not real. The sex that is shown in pornography isn't real either. In fact, it teaches us that you can have sexual fulfillment outside of any affection. You know that sex, it shows you sex divorced from any kind of relationship. It's not real. What they do and how they depict sex is all staged. It's all a performance. And the worst thing is it's going into our minds and it's infecting us and making us believe lies. It teaches us lies about really the kind of sex that's going on in society. And it teaches us lies about the kind of sex that people enjoy. Most of what you see in porn, women don't actually enjoy. I was chatting to a friend who said before she was a Christian, she was in this relationship. And one evening, they were doing something that she said, it was very strange. And about 20 minutes in, she said to her boyfriend, she said, are you actually enjoying this? And he said, not at all. And she said, I am not enjoying it either. Why are we doing this? And the reason was he'd seen it in porn. And he said, well, they seem to be satisfied in the film, so I'm assuming that it's great for us. It wasn't. It's a really bad, it's a poor educator. It's not real. It's very, very ignorant. It's ignorant about women's sexuality. We all know women are like slow cookers and men are like microwaves. If you go on porn, women are microwaves. That's not true. It's a nonsense. Is this a bit to the bone for you? I've got to be careful because every word you say, you think, is there a double entendre? This is a holy place, so we have to be careful. It is the house of God. Anyway, so it does, it pollutes our mind. But it also, it pollutes and corrupts our relationships. Porn actually causes a lot of problems in relationships. It causes men and women to become dissatisfied with real sexual intimacy. It actually dulls your appetite for real flesh communion, if you like, and ratchets up. Ratchets up your appetite for extreme fantasy sex. This isn't healthy in relationships. You know, there are some relationships which are completely destroyed because of the things that partners ask of their loved ones. And they do them and they think, actually, I feel defiled by this. I feel like I've lost the trust. Where's the love in our relationship? It's just become something ugly and unreal. I remember talking to a few friends of mine. This was years ago, and they had partners who were porn addicts, and it had basically rendered the men impotent. They just had no sexual appetite, no desire for their wives whatsoever, and the women were on their knees. I've never seen this before. I didn't think it possible, but you know, some wives want to be loved. They want their husbands to be affectionate and show them that they are desirable. And these women were saying, they do not want us, and I want to die. I remember coming back that night, and I spoke to Philip. I sat him down. I said, I just want to have a conversation with you. And he said, all right. I said, I just want to thank you that you always desire me. I thank you that you always seem keen to show your love and affection towards me. And whenever I, you know, a hint at a personal need, you're right in there, giving yourself, being so generous, such enthusiasm. Okay. And I said, I'm so grateful. And Philip looked at me, he said, is this a telling off? And so I said, no, I'm really grateful that you're not a porn addict. I'm grateful that you have a healthy sexuality and you want me. And I am grateful for that. I feel it does destroy intimacy in couples. And that's such a sadness, isn't it? And it's a sadness that I think for many people of this generation, it's destroyed sex and relationships. And we need to recover that space. There's so much that the porn industry neglects around real human interaction and relationships. It's like you're given fast food, McDonald's, covered in ketchup. And that's what you're offered. And you think, actually, it's way bigger. There's a huge etiquette around sexual intimacy, which is vast, and you're being robbed of it. And the third thing it does is it actually pollutes and it infects society in a really, really horrific way. We know that the porn industry abuses women. Of the top porn films that were released last year, 88% showed women at the receiving end of violence. Porn seems to be becoming more and more violent. It's almost like it's a drug that needs to intensify in strength to have the same effect. And women are paying the price for it. Not only women in the porn industry, but actually the porn industry is dictating and it's steering our own sexual behaviours. So just regular, ordinary people are now moving towards more violent forms of sexual intimacy. The Independent wrote an article and it said that at least one in three women has experienced unwanted sexual violence in the bedroom. And it is fueled by the porn industry. It's outrageous, isn't it? So we know, we've talked about it before, that there's an inextricable link between porn, prostitution, drug abuse, sexual trafficking. We know there's an inextricable link. Sexual trafficking is now the third largest industry in the world. It's the exploitation of the poor and the vulnerable for the pleasure and satisfaction of the rich. It's completely unacceptable in our world. What are we doing about it? So I'm telling you the horrors, aren't I? It's quite heavy. And you're saying to me probably, we know all this, Kate. We know all the bad news, but can you tell us something that's good? Okay, so we're going to move on now. Right, what is the good news? What is good about this? How can we get help? How can we be porn-free? Do you know something that I just want to just quickly just add into the end? It is so prolific that apparently conservative estimates say that 3 out of 4 of all 18 to 25-year-olds regularly watch porn, and a third of those are women. That is how big it is. So if you don't think it affects all of us, you're wrong, it does. Anyway, moving on, the good news. The good news is that God can handle this kind of immorality, this abuse. God can handle it. God has a plan. God knows what to do. And we look at the book of Galatians, and we have just the package of salvation and deliverance and power that God gives to us. And it says this. It says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You know, porn is a kind of slavery. Once it's got you, it seeks you out. Once it has you, you become its slave. It's really hard to get out of. But what you need to know is that a cosmic event happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus came and died on the cross. Now, some of you are Christians here. You know this message. Some of you haven't ever heard the good news. But it was a monumentous cosmic event because in this posture, in this moment, Jesus took all the power of sin and wickedness on himself and he died. He made it die. He took away its power and he took it away from us. When Jesus died on the cross, he was the sacrifice for all humanity and every wrongdoing we had done and would do. He was the substitute. So when we look at Jesus on the cross, we are called to come and we receive that sacrifice that he made on our behalf. We are called to give our lives in return for his life. We are called to give our sin and our wrongdoing, and in exchange, he will give us his righteousness and his holiness. This is something you actually have to realize through faith. So for the porn user, Jesus in that moment becomes the porn user, and you become the righteousness of God. This is the gospel message. substitution, his life for yours. But we have to want it. We have to want to give over our lives. And that is the hard thing. Will we give our lives over? Will we give this horrible, this wretched, this brokenness over? Because if we will, if we want to, he will restore to us the righteousness of God. And this is what it means. It's for freedom that Christ has set you free. When we are removed from the sin, we are removed from the intoxicating power of porn, we are then free to make a decision about how we choose to live, because Jesus has earned our freedom. And the next scripture says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh, but rather serve one another in humbly in love." So when you have been separated through the act of Jesus' death and resurrection, when you are separated from that sin, you then get a choice. Are you going to follow and return back to those ways of indulging the flesh, or are you going to choose to walk in love? And here we return to that royal law of love in James. We can decide to walk on those pathways of love. Do you know, when we choose to walk on the pathways of love, God is on those pathways, and we find him again, and we walk in close proximity to him. Do you know, God says, "He who lives in love lives in God, and God in him." When we walk and choose to move and operate and go forward on those pathways of love, God comes to live inside us. And he comes by the Holy Spirit. And it says of the Holy Spirit, next slide. "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." When we walk closely with God, this is the promise that Jesus gave after his death. He says, "The Holy Spirit will come to you." I sometimes think that this is a trick that we miss as Christians. We have available to us this powerful Spirit who comes to live in us. It's like a holy possession. If we want him, he will come. And he strengthens us and he enables us to walk in the holiness that God requires of us. We walk in this holy power. Do you know, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not easy to walk in sin. The Holy Spirit doesn't let you. You need to try this out. Fill yourself with the Holy Spirit and watch him move, watch him act. Feel the power that is in you, the power that will move you towards the holiness of God. And the Holy Spirit will wrestle in you, but he will wrestle with you until he brings you to victory. Until he sees you overcome the war against evil. He wants you to win it, and he's here to enable us to overcome. Isn't that great? And so the next slide says, "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." Do you know, this is actually the word of the year that Rob Scott Cook gave to us. He said, you know, let's walk in step with the Spirit. Let's keep in step with the Spirit. This presence of God in us that powers and unctions our lives. Let's just walk in it. Do you know, the whole topic of porn is so heavy. Life in the Spirit is not heavy. It's really light. There's a lightness and a joy that comes from living in the Holy Spirit that if you walk in it, you just feel the abundance of God and you feel the different pleasures of a spiritual life in communion with God. We must choose to put to death those things in us that want what is contrary to God's Spirit. It's like a mortification. It's what we do when we baptize you. We say you're going to put to death every part of you that wants to live in rebellion against God and wants to defile his image. We put that to death, and then we become, if you like, resurrected in this Holy Spirit and walk in the power of heaven. That's what it is. This is great news, isn't it? This is like the spiritual message of how we walk porn-free. We harness ourselves to the Holy Spirit. But we don't just do that, because I think we need to do practical things. And do you know that the body is an incredible tool for us? There is power and strength in this community to wage war against porn. These are the four steps which I think anybody who is serious about overcoming porn use and porn addiction, you must do these things. The first one is commit yourself to love. We've talked about walking in those highways of love, the royal law of love. If you love, St. Augustine said, you can pretty much do whatever you like so long as your driving motivation and force for your life is love. Commit yourself to love. Ask yourself, what does love look like in relation to me and porn, in relation to me and the women who are caught up in the porn industry? What does it look like? Do you know there are lots of things that you can do to support and to help women who are caught up in prostitution and in porn? Last year, we all took to the streets and we did the Walk for Freedom, which is raising awareness of human trafficking. We can work and support Beloved and 125. We've actually raised a lot of money already for Beloved, which is a charity that helps women who are working in brothels in Bristol. But if you actively choose to do something to counter, to oppose pornography, it will not be easy for you to then go and be a consumer of it. It will create a bit of cognitive dissonance. You'll think, yeah, I can't wrestle with these two things, so do it. Make yourself do something proactive to help liberate and serve these women caught up in this industry. So commit yourself to love. The second thing you need to do is confess to others. We know that one of the most powerful things that you can do if you are struggling with pornography is tell someone. Tell another person. I know what it's like not to do this. I obviously had this porn issue in my childhood, which then entered my marriage, and I was too scared to tell my husband anything about it. So I suffered in silence. I knew there was a problem. But as soon as I told him, he was so gracious with me. He said, I will stand with you, and we will sort this problem out together. We will work on it, and we will fight it together. And that was a very beautiful thing. It taught me how to walk with humility. I don't think I was a very humble person, naturally. But this issue has made me, forced me to be humble and to be humble before God. And it enables you to experience the grace of God, which again is an awesome experience. So confess to others. We're going to give some tools and some resources to our hubs, and we want you to kind of process this a bit. So a hub is a great place to share with people and say, actually, I've got an issue, will you help me? Mentoring, you can go to your mentor and say, right, we're gonna deal with this issue together. But confess it, bring other people, make them involved. You will not believe how the power of it is completely broken when you confess it and you share it to others. And it takes you out of that horrific feeling of shame that can just come on people after they've used porn. Horrific shame. We're not called to live in that. We're called to be free from shame. So confess to others. The third thing you can do is make sure you fight the battle before you get to the battle. And this is about putting blocks and putting safety measures around your devices. Now, I think you guys probably know a lot more about this than me, but there are many, many devices and many protective measures that you can put in place. You know, and think about the things that will trigger you into that activity and put measures in place to help yourself to fight the battles before they come. And then the last one is, again, live by the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Do not be afraid to come to God in whatever state you're in and ask for help to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ask for prayer. You know, he's the God who does. He removes your sin as far from you as the east is from the west. He removes it away from you and sets you free from it. So walk in the Holy Spirit. So this is my big idea. It is this. The keys to living porn-free are to be accountable, practical, and spiritual. But most importantly, do everything following the law of love, and you can't go wrong. I'm going to say it again. The keys to living porn-free are to be accountable, practical, and spiritual. But most importantly, do everything following the law of love, and you can't go wrong. Now, what I want to do now is just pray and do a bit of a liturgy, because I think that this is a corporate issue. The Bible says when one member suffers, we all suffer. If it's a problem for one person here, it's a problem for all of us. We're a body together. We stand next to one another and we fight alongside each other. This is what we're to do. So I'm going to read the first part of the liturgy as a prayer for all of us. And then we're going to read together the second part of the liturgy, which is a personal prayer for ourselves. Is that okay? Yeah. Okay. Father God, I pray that we would hear the call to love and that our hearts will be awakened to love our brothers and love our sisters and hate those things which cause them harm. Father, give us courage and humility to reach out and confess to others what we do in secret that brings us under condemnation and shame, and bring us out into freedom and life. Let us fight this fight together with humility and transparency. And we're going to read this one all together. So, Jesus, forgive me for all my wrongdoing and selfishness. Take it from me tonight. Thank you that on the cross you became the porn addict and I was set free. Thank you that your death makes me holy again. Holy Spirit, fill me so I can walk in your power and die to my own brokenness, impurity and sin. Amen. And we're just going to wait for a moment. Wait for the Holy Spirit.